Amen. Wasn't that nice?
Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath.
I want to begin by thanking our church family, the Merrimack Valley Church family, for all the cards. My dad passed away last Friday morning, early in the morning, in his sleep. He died from complications of Alzheimer's disease. He had double pneumonia. But I have sensed your prayers, and thank you for your expressions of love and concern and sympathy. It's great to be back. It seems like a long time. When you miss a whole Sabbath thing, it's 2 whole weeks almost go by just about. We've missed you. And we're glad to be here today. So we want to thank you very much for your prayers and your outpouring of sympathy and concern for us. Thank you. Very much appreciated. Amen.
I'd like you to open your Bible
to the Gospel of John. And you know, in our church we have board meetings, you know. The second Tuesday of each month we have a church board meeting, and you have leaders that you have on the church board. And I shared this devotional thought with them. Let's see, John chapter 7. I just said Gospel of John, didn't I? Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 38. This is very crucial to couch everything that I'm going to say about this message, Who Moved My Cheese?
Which children, you're going to love it.
Sometimes the adults are going to think I'm talking just to the children. But it's very important that you understand the context in which I'm coming from. This sermon is really a bright brain sermon because it's very creative. But the message is still the same. Amen? John chapter 7 and verse 38. Well, let's go up to verse 37. This was the great feast of Tabernacle. And Jesus was attending this feast, the last day of the feast. This is on the last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, a loud voice, he cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. In verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit. That's a capital S, amen? Whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Pentecost hadn't come, amen? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Listen. What is this thirst Jesus is talking about? If any man, any woman thirsts, do you have a need? Do you have a desire, a want, a God-given desire? What is it in your life? And if we could use whatever you want in your life, could we use the metaphor of cheese? Cheese representing whatever it is, a relationship or a job or whatever it might be that will bring you happiness. Although you're not put on planet Earth just to be happy. Amen? But we all search for cheese. We all desire cheese. That is the things that make us happy. Do we not? And so if we don't have the cheese, could we liken it to being thirsty?
Are you with me?
This isn't too deep, right? We're okay, right? You with me? Okay.
So you're thirsty.
Jesus says, if whoever thirsts, come to me. Come to Jesus. And he will supply, satisfy your not only satisfy. What does it say? Out of your very being, the center of your purpose, the center of your life, the center of your soul, the center of who you are, will flow rivers of living water. That sounds like an abundant life. And John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And I am not talking about bigger, nicer cars, bigger and better homes. I am not talking about material blessings, although God does give material blessings. Amen? I'm talking about the personal blessings in your life that you need to make you happy, that God has put within you, that you need to have satisfied in order to live the abundant life. You know, they said money can make one happy. Money can make you happy, right? Oh, it can help though, can it? Let's be honest with ourselves. But it can't really make you lastingly happy in your life, fulfilled in your heart, because God has a place where He can open. Amen? That's right.
But let's not
tweak it to say, oh, you know, I don't like money. But you're not being honest with yourself if you don't like money. I don't like money. And that they weren't lying on both sides of their face. But we don't want to love money. Amen? Amen? That's what the Bible says. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. We got to have money. Amen? So whatever this thing is, this thirst you have, I want it to represent cheese, be represented by cheese. And you know what? You and I are always seeking for certain things in our lives, whether we're aware of it or not. You want to be happy. You want to have joy. And we're always seeking for it. Because sometimes it moves. Sometimes the cheese moves. And what I would like to do is kind of use this story as a backdrop of change. Because change happens. And change impacts us, either positively or negatively. Change is rarely ever neutral, and if it is neutral, it's not neutral for long. I'm talking about your cheese moving, which produces change. Some of us don't like change at all. We want things to remain the same because we're comfortable there. Can I get a witness? Amen? But in order to live in the faith zone, you got to get out of the comfort zone. Amen? Let me say that again. In order to live in the faith zone, you have to get out of the comfort zone and pursue the cheese. Amen? And cheese being that desire, that thirst, hopefully that God wants to provide and give to you. Amen? Not just your own desire to satisfy yourself selfishly. Amen? Desires are not bad in and of themselves, but the way we satisfy them can be. God created us with certain desires. But I don't have time to get into all of that. I just want you to know that whatever you're desiring, whatever you feel, it makes you happy, fulfilled, gives you joy. You are constantly in search of it. But oftentimes, things change and it moves. And how do you deal with that change? Is strategic in you living the life that Christ wants you to live. To having that flow of living water springing up out of you has a lot to do with how you let the Spirit flow in your life. And if you and I have a problem with change, we really have a problem with change, anticipating it, changing to it, going, changing with it, pursuing it, then we can actually block how the Spirit may be leading and guiding in our lives. Why? Because we're stuck. We're saying, I ain't changing. I ain't moving. And I don't know how that gets translated for you. What is it that you really need in your life? What is it? What are you really thirsting for? To become more like Christ? Anybody want to be more like Jesus? Amen. Anybody want to live more fully in God's will? That is something all Christians hold in common. Amen. But sometimes God's will never changes. Amen. God never changes. Hallelujah. But our understanding of His will can change sometimes. Amen. But for you to achieve pursuing God's, He puts a thirst in you, a desire in you. God wants to achieve it. God wants to accomplish it. But don't let your mindset, don't let your thinking pattern of, oh no, change is happening. I'm going to stick my head in the sand, in the hole, and be an ostrich to the change around me. And I'll tell you something. That'll get you stuck so fast in what God wants to do through the life of the Spirit in you. Because you're not willing to change and let the living waters flow. Did I say flow? We stop it up. So I want to use this little metaphor, this little story of who moved my cheese. Shall I introduce my four main characters of this story? Okay? I'd like to introduce you to Ham. What's his name? He's a little person. There are four characters in the story. Ham and Ha. These are little people who live in a maze along with two other characters. Sniff and Scurry. Do they have their names on there? You can't really see them. Can you see their names? No? Well, this is Ham. That's Ha. This is Sniff. He's got his nose up. He's sniffing. And Scurry. In this story of Hem and Ha, Sniff and Scurry, who moved my cheese, they live together in this maze. And what happens is the cheese is constantly being moved. Now, we know mice love cheese. And in this story, these little people love cheese as well. And what happens is they live in this place called Station C. Capital C for cheese. And there's plenty of it. But eventually the cheese gets depleted. And Hem and Ha go to Station C one day and the cheese is all gone. Yeah. You see, they love cheese. But they didn't see the change coming that the cheese was going to be gone. See, cheese was what made them happy. They would say to themselves, they would say, having cheese makes me happy. And they got comfortable with all of their cheese that they had. And they said, wow, life is good. Let's just sit here, stay here, and eat all the cheese we want. Eat, drink, and be merry. Are you with me? Until the change happened and the cheese was gone. And Hem and Ha didn't know what to do. But Sniff and Scurry were smart about change. And you know what they did? As soon as the cheese was gone, they had their gym suit, their jogging suit to put on, and they had their jogging sneakers to put on. In fact, whenever they got to a place where there was cheese, they always put their sneakers, tied them together, and put them around their neck for when change happened, they would get ready to go pursue the cheese. What made them happy? Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are always pursuing what we think will make us happy. And that may be in accordance with God's will, and it may not be. I hope that it is. Most of the time. Amen? At least an important thing. Amen? But these guys were ready. Because when they woke up and they went to Station C where the cheese was and it was gone, they were out looking for more cheese. They were ready for change. They anticipated change. And they were ready to go into action when change took place. Why? Because they knew. They didn't overthink it. They didn't get all, whoa, woe is me, who moved my cheese. They were proactive And they said, you know what? Let's go find what makes us happy. Let's not stay here and complain and groan about how unfair it was for the cheese to be moved. Because that's what the little people did. Hem and haw stayed around and they said, it's not fair. Who moved the cheese? They didn't even notice. Day by day, the supply was getting less and less, and it was gone all of a sudden. And so what they were thirsty for no longer was theirs to be supplied, the cheese. And so they stayed behind while Sniff and Scurry went and found more cheese and enjoyed the change of finding new cheese, better tasting cheese, and got what they were looking for. I bet the kids really understand this pretty good. I got all the kids' attention. Some of the adults, your eyes are kind of rolling over. But that's all right. It's a little bit out of the box, I know it. But stay with me. Because I'm going to bring it home in a very powerful way. Amen? Let me look through what my next slide is. I remember these few here. Well, as Hem and Haw, actually it was Hem that stayed behind. Ha said, you know what, we can stay here, but they were getting weak, they were getting thinner. They didn't know what to do, and Ha said to himself, Ha is this guy right there. Notice they picked the fatter guy staying behind. You know? But Ha said, you know what, I want you to come with me. I want you to help me find the cheese. But you know what, because we're going to die here if we don't. If we don't change and go seeking after the cheese, moving forward, we're going to die. I mean, they tried to solve their problem in lots of ways, but they came to the point where they had to move. And Hem said, nope, I'm not moving. It's not fair. I shouldn't have to move. Someone moved my cheese. I'm staying right here. Ha says, I'm going forward. And Ha went forward. And as he went forward, searching through the maze, right? This is what he learned. This is what he shared with. He wanted to leave a trail for Hem. So in case Hem decided, I better go look for the cheese too, he would have at least a trail to follow to find the cheese if Ha found some more cheese. Here's one of the things he learned. You ready? He put this sign on the wall for a trail. He would draw a cheese sign. He would draw a big thing of cheese and he would write on the wall. And this is what he wrote. He wrote, the more important your cheese is to you, the more important you hold on to it. You want to hold on to it. So however things have changed for you, if it's really important to you, you're going to want to hold on to it. And sometimes if you hold on too tightly, you're not willing to change to keep seeking for it, searching for it. You just say, it's not fair, it's unjust, I'm staying right here. Or ignore the change. Or say, it's not happening with me. I'll be oblivious to what's going on around me. And I think you and I can do that, and certainly the church can do that. Because we can be thinking, you know, the church is what's inside these four walls. And it is true, the church is inside these four walls. But the church, most of the time, is outside these four walls. Am I right? Yes. So he wrote this, he says, he learned this, the more important your cheese is to you, the more you want to hold on to it. And he kept going on. And you know what? Once in a while, he would find bits of new cheese. And he would try to visualize in his mind, wow, it's not so bad having to change and move on. I found new cheese. And he imagined himself finding better cheese than he had before. How many of you think that things are going to just fall apart and be crazy and terrible when change comes? Nobody here does? I do. Apart. Oh, what's going to happen now? Right? Well, why don't we think, well, I wonder how God is going to bless us now. Why don't we just switch that and say, I wonder if God, how much better God is going to be to us. How about that? Then he wrote this on his way also, in another place. He wrote this. He wrote, if you do not change, you become extinct. How about that? If Ha didn't go in the maze looking for his cheese, what would have happened to him? He'd become extinct. At least you become irrelevant. And I wonder, how much has the church changed to keep up with the signs of the times? In fact, voice of prophecy, guess where they're going next in the technological age? Satellite radio. Amen? Do you know how many people were really down on HMS Richards because he went on radio because that was the instrument of the devil? He used the instrument of the devil, turned it into an instrument of God. Amen? Because people didn't want to change. We can't go there. We can't change like that because that's the devil's kind of thing. Well, you've got to be careful of the devil's kind of thing. But why not turn up what the devil uses, music, things like that, bad influence. Why can't we use music for good influences for God? Amen? Change is going to happen, but how well are we going to adapt? How well are we going to adjust? How well are we going to stick on the trail of pursuing those desires that God has put in our hearts and our minds to be more like Christ? How are we going to adjust? I think if the church doesn't change, it becomes irrelevant. I'm not talking about compromising. Because if you compromise, you lose your saltiness. Amen? God calls His church to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And I'm talking, God calls the church to be industrial salt. Industrial strength salt. And compromise, just, you lose that. Amen? So I'm not talking about
How many of you are
with me this morning? 4 people. Good. At least I'm not talking to myself. Well, let's continue real quickly for a few more slides. I'll be back in the scriptures with you. Then he kept going. And he wrote this on the wall, another place, after a while. He wrote, "What would you do if you weren't afraid?" Because sometimes change, we're afraid of change. We're afraid of the unknown. So what would you do if you weren't afraid? Answer that honestly to yourself, and that's probably where you ought to change. Where you ought to attempt it. You know what? There are some people who would like a better job, but they're afraid to go out and seek after it. Am I touching a little too closely now? And is there anything, you know, is God any less in that in your life? I think not. Amen? There are some people who would like to have better health, but you're not willing to make the changes to make that happen. Am I right? See, change has a lot to do with moving forward. Instead of just staying still and not accomplishing anything. Do you need to take a risk sometime with change? Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be
a fairly reasonable risk. Amen? And he also wrote this one. Words of wisdom from this little person called Ha. He wrote this. He said, "Movement in a new direction helps you to find new cheese." Folks, if you're not moving toward your goal, you're not going to make it. You got to move it. You can't just think about it. You got to make some action to it. You got to put some feet to your faith. Amen? Whatever it is, job, relationship, I don't know. You got to move. This is what he learned. He also learned this. Move with the cheese and enjoy it. You don't always have to think of change as being a negative thing. Change can be a positive thing. Change can really nurture you and make you grow. In fact, Shouldn't we expect change? Shouldn't you be coming a happier, more fulfilled, more productive, more fruitful Christian? Anybody want that? moving toward it. Because when change happens, you can think of change as actually enjoying it. Isn't that a new concept? I've got to work at some of these things. They don't come naturally to me. Some things change in my life. I'm thinking, I don't want this to change. What are you doing, God? I had everything just right. Amen? What are you afraid
of? Change.
Face it. Look it straight in the eyes. Amen? And ask God to help you with it. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's go back to our Bibles. And then I'm going to summarize this together. Let's go back to Matthew 16. Our text for the day. And then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 3 after that. But let's go to Matthew 16. And let's take a look at what Jesus says here. Verse 1. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 1 through verse 4. Amen? Change is something that will just block up the flow of the Spirit in your life, whether you're aware of it or not. It can. You need to assess. Change is going to happen. And the church needs to change. Appropriately change. Not just for change's sake. Amen? That's crazy. Verse 1, chapter 16 of Matthew. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, testing him, Jesus, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. Do a miracle. Come on, Jesus, you know, do a sign. Could Jesus do it? Oh, yeah. You're right. Oh, yeah. Amen? He could just speak it. It could happen. Verse 2, look how he answers. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. So in other words, you can tell, you can see this weather. You can tell the signs and weather and the clouds. You can anticipate that. But look what he says. You hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. I'm not saying that Jesus is talking about change here, but what Jesus is talking about is knowing what's happening around you, being aware of what's really important, and signs of the times is important. Amen? Doesn't the church believe that we're living in the last days? And we know that that's a fluid situation. Everybody here remember September 11th? Remember that? 9/11, right? Did things change quite rapidly after that? Very quickly. Could not things change very rapidly when certain signs of the times are fulfilled? Absolutely. Very rapidly. Will you and I be ready for that? Are we anticipating the change? Are we looking for the change? Are we ready for the change? Or are we going to be in our comfort zone? And not in the faith zone? Now don't get me wrong. We all need stability and consistency, and we need a certain amount of comfort zone all the time. Amen? You and I would go crazy if we were thrust into over our head faith zone all the time. I mean, you know, real crazy stuff. Right? Am I right? But there are times where you need to step out of the comfort zone deliberately, making the choice because you're afraid of rejection or failure or whatever the case may be. You need to take an action forward. Putting some faith to your feet and move into the direction in which God wants you to go. In the faith zone. Am I right? But that's not entirely, usually, so much, or such a huge, big decision that it's going to have earth-shattering consequences. But sometimes it could, but it's not the norm. Amen? In other words, are you willing to take baby steps so that you can take some giant steps later on? Let's continue on. Verse 4, look what he says. The wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And I thought about that. What was the sign of the prophet Jonah? Okay, certainly Jesus and Jonah, 3 days, 3 nights. Yeah, that's a definite correlation, right? Jesus would die 3 days, right? in the tomb. But Jonah was in the belly of the whale, right? Okay. That's a good correlation. But what else was Jonah about? Pardon me? He ran away. He certainly didn't like his cheese being moved, did he? He said, I'm going to take control of the situation, and I'm going to go for what I know is my cheese over here. Are you with me? You know, metaphorically speaking, of course. He took off. But then he got thrown overboard. God, in his mercy, picked him up in a big fish, which is kind of cool, isn't it? Because it's totally out of his control. God's in control. Amen? Totally out of control. Jonah's not in control. Hello? God's stepping in, and he's taking control in a miraculous way. So he picks Jonah up in his taxi. Smelt real good inside that big fish, didn't it? I love that children's story we had a few months ago with that. That was great. Smell awful. Slimy, sticky. Okay, so what happened? What was Jonah's purpose? What was he supposed to do? Supposed to warn. He was supposed to go and preach the gospel to whom? Nineveh. And he didn't. He disobeyed. He rebelled, right? Amen? And what was the message he was supposed to preach? Change. Repentance is changing, amen? Big time changing. Repentance is 180 degrees. See, when you're to repent, you're going one way, right? When repentance comes, conviction of sin comes, power to overcome, change from that sin comes, amen? From the Spirit of God doing this, right? Because you will never be convicted of sin yourself. That's the natural man likes sin. If you have something that comes up against sin in your life, you say, no, this is sinful, this is wrong. That's the Spirit of God in you. At least coming aside you, at the very least. And when you repent, you turn from that, you go away from it. You're not trying to stay close to it, you're going to go away from it. And Jonah's message was the message of repentance for that city. Because judgment was going to come, and God didn't want to have to do that. He wanted all to be saved. Amen? So, message came. The warning message came. Guess what? They heeded it. They changed. So all this is part of that sign, I think. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, how does that apply to us being anticipating change? Thinking about how we can be relevant to a world around us, as your church. Individually, yes, but more importantly, as a church dynamic working together. How can we change to fit into God's plan more fully? How can we change to allow the Spirit to flow in the corporate body called the church? I'm talking to you this morning on two levels. Personal level, in your own personal life, day to day, but also on the level of corporate community level of the Spirit of God working in and through us together in our community. How open are you to allowing change come? Did I give you a little bit of food for thought? Sometimes, I know I need it. Sometimes my wife does this to me. Not literally, but she's going to say, what are you going to say now? But sometimes I need a swift kick in the pants. Am I not alone? Can I get a witness on that? You know, you just got to take the bull by the, get going. Come on. What are you doing? You're procrastinating. You're just ignoring things. Get going. Come on. Move out of the comfort zone. Get in the faith zone. So I need a little swift kick in the pants. She doesn't literally kick me in the pants. Yeah. But she nudges me. She uses words. And sometimes I don't like to hear what she has to say. But she's right. Uh-oh. Got one for you, hon. Got to mark that up there. Because she's going to say on the way home, what did you say I was right about? Can I hear that again? Well, the story ends. Really, we never know in the story. And if you want to read this, it's in the book called Who Moved My Cheese by Dr. Johnson. He's an MD. It's really a book about promoting change in business, making a business work. And there are a lot of correlations of making a good business and a good church. Don't get me wrong. Church is not a business. Amen? We're not in it for money. Amen? We are in it for people. Amen? There's a big difference. Although there is
correlation with being relevant
to the people around us, we need to make change. Businesses constantly have to change in order to be able to sell their product. If Henry Ford stuck with a Model T, how long would that be in existence? Not that long. It had to constantly change and adjust. There are a lot of companies who are not willing to change and adjust, and they became extinct. The Swiss watch. How many of you own a Swiss watch? Does anyone here have a Swiss watch? Do you know just about 20 years ago, everyone owned a Swiss watch? Yeah.
You see,
Swiss got the cogs and the wheels and the springs. They kind of incorporated that. That was their vision. They put that together in a watch. And they thought all watches should have cogs and wheels and springs. But then the quartz came. Now, I'm not sure exactly how the quartz works, but it makes cogs and wheels and springs obsolete. And the Swiss watch company was not willing to change, and they became extinct. You have to change. You have to adjust. And the church has to, in some way, you never change the message. Amen? No.
That's not.
No. The message is proven the test of time. It's scriptural.
It's Bible-based.
Amen? That doesn't change. But the packaging and the way you might do some things changes because that has changed out there. I don't drive in a Model T anymore. Well, I never did. But, you know, I could have if I were way back then. Only about 100 years ago, a Model T, right? Just about. But now we have, you know, big, nice SUVs and trucks. And think trucks ride like cars. And got to change. You got to be relevant. You got to be pertinent. Amen? So what Ha did is at the end of the story, it doesn't say that Hem ever really got out of the maze or went into the maze and found new cheese. Doesn't say that Hem said, you know what, I'm going to change. I'm going to move forward and look for new cheese. It doesn't say that. But it does say he
hears.
And to move forward. And then it goes, the author says, this is the end, or maybe a new beginning. Amen? You've heard the saying, sometimes God can close a window, but open a door. Amen? So, this is what he learned. Real quickly. Follow with me, okay? He wanted to share this with us. He says, change happens. They keep moving the cheese. Whenever you arrive,
find the cheese, it's going to move. Change happens.
Anticipate change. Get ready for the cheese to move. Monitor change. Smell the cheese often so you know when it's getting old. You know? I give the kids little wristbands and pencils for listening to my sermon and picking those three words out that I say repeatedly over and over again. And you know what? The wristbands and the pencils are getting old. Amen? I'm going to need some new things. Amen? I've got to change. Amen? Okay. That's a very simple illustration. Monitor change. Smell the change often so they know when it's getting old. Smell the cheese, rather, often getting old. adapt to change quickly. The quicker you let go of old cheese, the sooner you can enjoy new cheese. Amen? Boy, and I think we're really, I know I am slow at this sometimes. It's the challenge. Change. Move with the cheese. Enjoy change. Savor the adventure and taste the new cheese. Don't always look at change as being so bad. Amen? It can be an adventure. Be ready to quickly change again and again. And keep moving the cheese. Amen? I have about 8 minutes left, and I'm going to use every minute of it in Revelation chapter 3. This is called the application part or the conclusion, the appeal part of my sermon. You know? They teach you that in seminary in homiletics class. And it's a good thing to learn. Anybody get some insight about change today? Nobody? Ah, a couple people. Then that's good. It's worth the time I took to prepare this sermon. Amen? I want you to know when you come to Merrimack Valley Seventh-day Adventist Church, God's going to bless you. Amen? And you know what? I don't care how poor my sermon is. If you're open to receive a blessing, you should get a blessing. Amen? That's right. I will do my best to give you a good sermon, but I don't always do that. Pardon me? But God will bless you. Right? He can take however I blew it, He can make it a blessing to you. In spite of me. Amen? Okay, go to chapter 3, verse 14. We're going to look at the lukewarm church. Okay? Now, we know that the Laodicean church typifies the end-time church, right? Right? Lukewarm church. Verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? These things says the Amen. Hallelujah. The faithful and true witness. Praise God. The beginning of the creation of God. Hallelujah. You know, they're saying the source. Who's the source of saying this? Jesus? Huh? God? Amen? Amen. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Ow. Because you say, why? Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. I don't need to change. I'm in my comfort zone. I'm fine where I am. Is that okay to put it that way? No? You don't think so? You're not sure? Well, what's it say? Because you say I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing. And I do not know, and you do not know, and do not know that you are what? Miserable, poor, that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. These guys are not even aware of their condition. And you see, listen, this is not talking about change, but it does imply change. Listen, if you recognize you are miserable, poor, blind, and naked, do you not need to change? Absolutely. How do you need to change? Look what God says He will do. I counsel you, buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be what? Rich, really rich. And white garments that may be clothed, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness, see, you're naked, you're really in poverty, you need righteousness. It says that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent.
In other words,
get hot. Change. You need to change. I need to change. We got to change. We can't just think, oh, this is a theoretical, theological thing. It leads to change. And, amen. No, I mean, it just does. I mean, it's not saying go change, but it's indirectly saying you got to change. Counsel from me. I want to give you this in replace of what you think you have. These guys have schizophrenia, man. These guys are in a world that's phony. Are you with me? They're saying, look, their assessment of themselves is what? I am rich. I am increased with
good.
I don't need anything. Folks, that's human. That's the human nature. In reality, we are really what? Naked and blind, and we need everything. Amen? So there's a good lesson from Sniff and Scurry and Hem and Haw. Instead of Hem and Haw, let's scurry. Amen? Let's move rapidly towards change when we know we need to go that direction. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. There's the Jonah message. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. You notice the door opens from the inside out. Amen. You have to open the door from the inside to let Jesus in. Amen. And when Jesus comes in, you will change. I will change. Maybe subtle changes. Sometimes it may be large, big changes. Amen. Especially those who first come to Christ can have some pretty big changes. Amen. Yeah. Big changes. Why? Because their life takes on a whole new direction. They're a new creation in God. Amen? But see, you know, we get inoculated to change. We get inoculated against change. Why? Because we get comfortable. Everything's copacetic and pretty good with me right now. Hey, it's good to count your blessings. Amen? We've got Joni here today. Praise God. That's a huge victory. Glory to God. Amen? We got Jay here. That's a great... Praise God for that. Amen? Hey, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Say praise God for it. But don't get comfortable in it and say, I don't need to change anymore. I've arrived. Or, you know, if God smiles on you, it's probably because He wants you to empower you to do something more for Him. Amen? Not just to make you happy in your own little world. You are part of a community of faith where you bring something to the table to make the church should be. Amen?
Amen?
And if you weren't in Sabbath school this morning, you missed a tremendous blessing. Dale did a great job teaching that lesson. Amen?
Amen?
That was good. That was just really good. Inspiring. Challenged us in a lot of ways. Listen, folks. Change doesn't come easy to, you know, the Titanic saw that iceberg. You know, Titanic is a big ship, or was a big ship, that in unsinkable ship, some said. That's what they said. And that iceberg was dead ahead. They were there. And they tried to turn it. Big ships turn slowly. And it couldn't turn fast enough. And it just ripped like a can opener aside in its hull. Gash, it sliced it right out. And of course, we all know it's sunk and hundreds of people have lost their lives. Because it wasn't able to change quickly. And because maybe the captain was arrogant and said, you know, we're unsinkable, let's just continue full speed ahead. Let's not proceed with caution. Whatever the case may be, the church changes slowly sometimes. And sometimes that can be a good thing because...
We need to support each other.
be changes that we sense God is leading us. It's got to be that way. Amen? We've got to be empowered by the Spirit. It's got to let the Spirit flow. Amen? We just got to do that. And adjusting to change helps to unplug that. And I want to end, and I know I said I was going to end with that chapter, Revelation, but I forgot that I had this. I am going to close, really. I'm not taking off again. Here we go. Ellen White says in Ministry of Healing, I like this quote, she says this.
Just try to envision the picture
she paints here. Heavenly agencies are waiting to cooperate with human instrumentalities, that they may reveal to the world what human beings may become and what through union with the divine may be accomplished for the saving of souls that are ready to perish. There is no limit to the usefulness of one who,
putting self
aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. Now that implies change all over the place. Amen? All who consecrate body, soul, and spirit to his service will be constantly receiving new endowments of physical, mental, and spiritual power. I can see the flow coming. Amen? I can see the flow happening. The inexhaustible supplies of heaven are at their command. Wow. Christ gives them the breath of his own spirit, the life of his own life. The Holy Spirit puts forth its highest energies to work in mind and heart. Through the grace given us, we may achieve victories that because of our own erroneous and perceived opinions, our defects of character, our smallness of faith have seemed impossible. To everyone who offers himself to the Lord for service, withholding nothing, is given power for the attainment of measureless results. That's big. So big you can't measure it. For these, God will do great things. He will work upon the minds of men so that even in this world, there shall be seen in their lives a fulfillment of the promise of the future state. Wow. The challenge is, will we let the Spirit do it? Will we let the flow? Will we just cooperate with the Spirit? Will we do our part in cooperating with the Spirit? You know, God opened the door. Amen? What a challenge. Wow. This seems pretty silly, huh? Hem and haw, sniff and scurry. Is it powerful or what? Absolutely. Take this truth. Think about it. Meditate on it. Reflect a little bit on it. Where is God telling you you need to change a little bit? Amen? Where is he directing you with the flow of the Spirit in your life? Amen? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have challenged us to change. You have challenged us to allow you to work in our lives, to lead and guide us by the power of your Spirit, that we can truly live that life that flows from the Spirit. And so we know, we've been reminded today that change, our attitude toward it, can block that flow. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to see change in your life. That change can be good when it's done for the right reasons and the right way by the power of your Spirit. Because your Spirit will always lead us into truth. Always. He cannot do anything else. So help us, Lord, to sense and to know the leading of your Spirit. For us individually and corporately as a body in Christ. And I just pray a blessing on each one, Lord, that the cheese that they are seeking is your cheese. and that you will provide it for them, that the thirst that they have, they will find satisfied in Christ, who is the source of all living water. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen.